Welcome to episode 20 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament, a Bible study series presented by the Anglican Internet Church. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. In this episode, I will correct an error I made earlier in numbering the unique parables in the Gospel of St. Luke. Regrettably, I omitted the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12:13-21, which occurs within Jesus' instruction concerning greed and anxiety. And I will now take up the omitted parable and close our discussion of parables in St. Luke's Gospel with the discussion of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The parable of the rich fool was spoken in the context of a discussion between Jesus and a man from the crowd who wanted Jesus to command his brother to share his inheritance with him. Jesus declined to act as judge and offered this advice in verse 15b, "Beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." One of the difficulties in the Western translations of the Bible is that at least four Greek words which mean lust, greed, avarice, or covetousness are all translated as covetousness. In the parable of the rich fool, the Greek is pleonexia, pleonexia. In all cases, the four words refer to the desire for something that belongs, either legally or morally, to another. The tenth commandment, in fact, contains a lengthy list of objects one should not covet. Jesus then spoke the parable of the rich fool. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The parable's message is similar to that of the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16:1-13, which I discussed in episode 18, in which the reference was to divided loyalty between God and mammon. I will return later to the same issue in our discussion of Jesus' discourse in chapter 12 on various bad behavior, including hypocrisy, greed, anxiety, laziness, forgetfulness, and lack of discernment. I turn now to the final parable in St. Luke's account, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which is found in Luke 18, verses 9-14. In Anglican worship, it is the gospel reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. For this series, I have used the modern name for two reasons. First, the title publican has come to mean one who operates a public house, meaning a bar or a pub. Since the second character's actual job was collecting taxes, he has been given his real title, tax collector. As we enter the narrative, Jesus and the traveling party of disciples and the crowds that followed them are somewhere in the south of Samaria on the way to Jerusalem. The time is most likely 2 weeks before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. In St. Luke's narrative, there are two characters who go into the temple to pray. The connection between this parable and the parable of the tenacious widow which preceded it is found in verse 9, when St. Luke describes the Pharisees as men, quote, "who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." a description which is reinforced by Jesus' comment in verse 11 that the Pharisee, quote, stood and prayed with himself. You see him in the left foreground in the illustration, which is a 19th century watercolor over graphite on gray paper by James Tissot. The Pharisee confirms his extreme self-righteousness in his own prayer in verse 12, in which he refers to himself in the first person singular 5 times in just 2 sentences. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The editors of the New King James Study Bible observe that the Pharisee seems to believe that God is lucky to have a man like him as a believer. Later in his Gospel, St. Luke quotes Jesus' warning in verse 46, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogue, and the best places at feasts." Here it is important to recall the observation that I made about the parable of the tenacious widow, that persistence of prayer is more important than length. The tax collector, quote, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus ends the parable with these words in verse 14. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I think the message is that one shouldn't count themselves more righteous than others because he or she wears their best clothes to church, or that they crossed themselves more times than someone else, or that they bowed more deeply than others, especially than that person sitting next to them. Other good advice is to apply the lesson of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in saying your prayers, by saying in your prayers one of the oldest prayers in the Christian tradition, which is called the Jesus Prayer, based upon the humble prayer of the tax collector. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In addition to the unique nativity accounts of Jesus and John the Baptist, Jesus' encounter with temple authorities at the age of 12, and the 11 unique parables, all of which we have now discussed in various episodes, the Gospel of St. Luke includes many other scenes, lessons, and homilies of Jesus Christ that are either not found in the other two synoptic Gospels or are offered elsewhere in significantly different form. In this episode and the next two episodes, I will discuss these in the order in which they are found in St. Luke's account. Most are found in 3 clusters, chapters 11 through 14, chapters 16 and 17, and chapters 22 and 23. We begin with Jesus' prohibition on the disciples against calling down destruction on a Samaritan village which had refused them entry. I mentioned the incident in episode 17 in connection with the parable of the Good Samaritan. As told by St. Luke, Jesus had, quote, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's verse 51. This phrase marks St. Luke's acknowledgement that Jesus is about to begin the final phase of his ministry, which had begun in Galilee. Discussion of this phase takes up much of the latter half of St. Luke's Gospel. When they were refused entry into the unnamed Samaritan city, disciples James and John asked Jesus in verse 54, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven to consume them just as Elijah did? The phrase just as Elijah did refers to an incident described in 2 Kings 1:9-16, in which Elijah the Tishbite called down fire from heaven, which consumed the king of Samaria and 50 of his men. St. Luke tells us that Jesus, quote, turned and rebuked them. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's verse 56. The reference to Elijah is not in all manuscripts of the Gospel of St. Luke. One might say that this refusal expresses the concept of free will in which mankind is free to choose or reject the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. The second unique account discussed in this episode is St. Luke's account of the sending out and the return of the 70, which is chapter 10, verses 1 to 24, and which comes immediately before the parable of the Good Samaritan. Some modern translations, such as the ESV Study Bible, say 72 were sent. Eastern church scholars see a parallel between the choice of 70 and the appointment by Moses of 70 elders composed of able and truthful men who feared God and who were to judge, act as judges over the people, and you'll find that account in Exodus 18, verses 21 to 27, and Exodus 24, verse 1. There are similarities between this account and St. Luke's own account of the sending of the 12 in Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. However, both the mission and the instructions are far more extensive for the sending of the 70. There are many hypothetical lists of the 70, the earliest being the work of Hippolytus of Rome, a late 1st century, early 2nd century disciple of St. John the Baptist, evangelist and theologian, and the early Christian St. Polycarp of Smyrna, and the influential Bishop Irenaeus of Lyon, who was raised in the East and became the earliest strong link between the traditions of the Eastern and Western churches. In the Eastern Church tradition, 70 are identified by name. If you would like to see the complete Eastern list, you may consult the Orthodox Study Bible New Testament and Psalms edition on page 818. They are considered saints, and their lives are celebrated in Eastern Church worship on January the 4th. The graphic for this section is an old Russian Orthodox icon of the 70 apostles. Most prominent among the Orthodox list are several early leaders of the church who are mentioned in Acts of the Apostles and in the Epistles of St. Paul, and they are Barnabas, James the brother of the Lord, Luke and Mark, Onesimus, Philemon, Philip the deacon, Silas, Simeon son of Cleophas, said to have succeeded James as Bishop of Jerusalem, St. Stephen the martyr, Timothy, Titus, and Tychicus. St. Luke's account of the sending and return of the 70 is long, 21 verses, and we will take up the text of the sending and the return the next time in episode 21. Thank you for joining me for episode 20 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. Producing these videos requires both time and money. You can support this internet ministry in several ways. You can make a direct donation by sending a check payable in any amount to St. Chrysostom Church / Anglican Internet Church to our business office address 7162 Southwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia 23111. Or you can purchase books from our bookstore or e-store at our Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com. There you can go to the bookstore page and order using PayPal any of our 10 publications. You can also follow and like us on Facebook. The full internet address is on the screen, but I have also posted a live link to our Facebook page on the homepage of our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Use the link on that page, and once you're at the Facebook page, you can bookmark it for easy return at any time. Contributors and book purchasers are eligible to become distance members. Distance members receive the weekly update, which includes the latest news and links to the newest videos, podcasts, and publications. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call on my church cell phone, 804-306-1190. The best times are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you. May God make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.